Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
If you have your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, if you've missed a Sunday or two in the recent few weeks, I want to encourage you to go to our website, SpartaNewLife.com, and you can find over, I think it's on the right column, is that right, Josh? He kind of helps with it. It says podcast. If you don't know what a podcast is, that's simply something that you can click on, and then comes up past sermon titles and who has preached or taught on a Sunday morning, whether it's a guest or myself. And I would encourage you to go back the last few weeks and listen to the messages. Not that they are great messages and great preaching in that sense, but they are great messages in the sense that God is saying something to us as a church. And that we are praying, those of you who've been around, we are praying that God would come in a strong and close and marvelous way to this church and to this area. That God would specifically come and give us an opportunity to get to know Him and experience Him in our life in maybe some dramatic ways. Maybe in ways that are miraculous or supernatural. Ways where it matches with who Jesus is and who He was, as we read in the Gospels. And that God would come close, and that we would sense His presence, and He would begin to refine us and get close to us and allow us to know Him and experience Him. That in, you can call it spiritual renewal, revival, spiritual awakening. You can call it what you want. Each of those are a little bit different than each other, but I tell you what, I will take any of it or all of it. And we are praying that God would come this way for a season into our life, so that we would have the opportunity to say yes or no to Him. It's not just praying for revival and a move of His Spirit. We are praying for that, but I'm asking that it would come in the way of a season or a window to give us a taste, to give us time to experience Him and count the cost and look at this and say, God, yes, this is what I want. This is how I want You. I'm willing to lay down my personal preference for the sake of however You want to come and bring spiritual renewal to me. And our responsibility to make good on His nearness. And so over the last few weeks, this has kind of been a theme. And this morning, I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, we must pay more careful attention. Can you say it with me this way? I must pay more careful attention. Would you say it again? I must pay more careful attention. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. Now, why is that? It's about to tell us. So that we do not drift away. You know, the Lord has a firm hold on those who believe in Him. He does not easily give up those He loves and those who believe in Him. He does not easily give you up or give me up. We start to wander and drift. His Holy Spirit becomes, as we know Him, as the hound of heaven. He tracks us down. He sniffs our trail and follows us, trying to woo us, save us, bring us back to Him. God does not easily let us go. He loves us. He loves you. Turn to the person next to you and say, God does love you. Now, you don't know what has gone on in that person that you just told. You don't know everything that's gone on in their life or what's inside and the things that they hold. And I'll tell you what, we say things like God loves you very lightly, but I want you to hear it this morning. God does love you. Doesn't matter what your history is. Doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you. He wants to help you out of all the stuff that we entangle ourselves with. Because all of us have a history, right? How many of you ever been tangled up before? Yeah. How many of you are still coming out of it? Yeah. But the Lord's faithful to complete it. He's for you. He loves you. Well, this scripture says that I had better pay more careful attention, close attention to what I have heard. In other words, the gospel. That's the context. The message of the gospel. The message of Jesus Christ. Saved by grace through faith. Not by works that I could boast. But it's all about the goodness of God that we can be saved. Not our goodness. Not like, oh, well, I'm better than most, so God should be pretty pleased to have me. We may not say that, but I'll tell you what. Sometimes when we look at other people, that's what we feel about ourselves. All come short of the glory of God. All fall short. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, we can be in this room and you can sense, hey, spiritually, I'm solid. I'm good to go. My ticket for heaven, it is not in question. I am good to go. And I'm glad that you feel that way. I'm glad that you think that way, as long as God views it the same way. But I want you to hear this. It's not that the salvation is weak, for the salvation is pure. But how many of you, since you've been a Christian, you'd be willing to admit that you have done something or said something that you thought you would never do or say? Or again, do it or say it. How many of you? Okay. Oh, okay, there's a few more that time. All right, some of you haven't, and that's good. Listen, there is the potential that we can drift and wander. I want you to hear that. Listen, as a pastor, my faith cannot be professional. It has to be personal for me. If I let it just become professional, I will drift. Oh, I can function and be called pastor and study the word for the sake of teaching or preaching. And I can say professional prayers on the behalf of other people and lose out on my own soul. It's got to be personal for me. I can drift just like you. I can drift. Am I as close to the Lord as I once was? If not, I've drifted somewhere. It's about continuing this relationship with Him and following Him. And the key, here's the key. He gives it to us. The writer of Hebrews gives it to us and says, pay more careful attention to what you have heard so that you will not drift away. I've looked at my own life and I've had numerous people through the years of ministry come to me and say, you know, I'm having these troubles. I just can't. You know, this is going on in my life, and I just don't know where I'm going wrong, and how do I get back to God? And you know what? Here's one of the keys. I say, I will not tell you what to do, but I'm going to tell you, share some things from the Scripture for you to think about, and you can make a decision about it. And one of the things that I tell them is that our faith is built by being in God's Word, reading it, thinking about it, not just reading it page after page and daydreaming about something else. Take a few verses, think about it, pray about it, let it sink in, meditate about it. How do I apply this to my life? How do I let this affect my attitude? I say, you have to get back and you have to look at God's Word. And you know what I hear much of the time? Yeah, but read God's Word. Yeah, but. Like, yeah, I know that's what the Word says. Yeah, I know that's what you're going to say. But. Like something else is more important. Or like the trouble can't be conquered. As if we lack a confidence in the living Word of God. This is not a book. These words have life. They divide to the depths of our soul. They can separate between the soul and the spirit. No counselor, no psychologist can do that. How is it that his principles and who he is stays relevant through time? Because it's living. It's active. It's sharp. I can't tell you the number of times I've tried to go to God's word for comfort, and it pierced me. Because it's sharp. But once I let it pierce me, and I pay more careful attention to it, then I find out all the encouragement comes. What an honest prayer by the psalmist. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That's like saying, all right, I'll look in your word. And as I read your word, let the double-edged sword pierce me so that I can be struck with conviction, with healing, that the bad can be removed. And your goodness can be poured in. I'll tell you that we can hear some remarkable things sometimes. And shortly after, we forget it. We all do. Listen, I've had people come up to me and say, on a couple of occasions, Pastor, boy, last week's sermon was really good. Or they'll say, 3 weeks ago, boy, that sermon, that was good. And I'm going, hey, thanks, that's kind of you. And then I think, what was that sermon? I'm the one who spoke it. And I got to think. Okay, that's the one. Oh, yeah, that's it. And that's, yep, that's, okay. Isn't it amazing that when bad things happen to us, we never forget? Ooh. Or somebody hurt us, or somebody said a hurtful word. That we don't have trouble remembering. See how active our flesh is and the enemy is? Then when it says we have to pay more careful attention, here's the rough news. I have to discipline myself to think about that which is good, right, pure, noble. Right? I've got to go to the podcast. I've got to go back to the scripture. It's not, I've read this gospel so many times in my life. I got to go back and read it. It's still living. It's still active. He's still going to show me things that I didn't get the first 100 times. And if I need to be reminded of the things that are good, then I better be in there. Because it's the only way that my faith is going to continue to grow and flourish as a man. As a person, not just as a pastor or a husband or a father or a friend, as a person. Pay more careful attention to what we have heard, that we do not drift away. You know, I've been in a few canoes in my lifetime, and I've been on some different rivers. And rarely, when I drift, does the canoe go where I want it to. I have to paddle. I have to paddle and steer and navigate to get to where I want to go on that river. It's no different for our faith. If I am not paying careful attention to what I've heard and to the gospel, to what I've heard what God is saying to us as a church and to me as a person in recent days, if I don't pay more careful attention, you might think, I'm already paying careful attention. I can tell you about the sermons the last 4 weeks. I can tell you the scripture. That's great. But wherever you're at in the level, it says pay more. It's not, well, I'm doing better than this person. Pastor, call a pop quiz about the last few weeks. I can answer them. Wherever level you're at, whether you can answer 1, 2, 3 questions, none, it's about paying more careful attention to the gospel and what we have heard. Because if we do not, we will drift. It may not be like rushing water carrying us quickly away. It's that we drift. And I want you to know that when we drift, it is not God's fault. I choose to drift. Now, my intention is that I don't drift. But, you know, many good intentions, they ain't going to cut it. It has to work its way into my life, the application of my life, the choices I make, what I put aside that I call almighty important compared to God almighty important. His word, my faith, that I do not drift. For if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Well, that's a mouthful, and let me try to just put it in a nutshell for you. When it says that the message spoken by angels was binding, we have to go back to the Old Testament and understand that the angels were present at the time of when the laws were given to Moses. And you'd have to go back and look at some of this. So understand the writers of Hebrew is drawing on God's people's historical experience. And so they understood it when it was written, where you and I go, what was that all about? At least when I read it, that's I was like, what? That has to do with that the angels were present helping administer the law and bringing the laws in the way of revelation from God to Moses. You can look back at those references. That's up to you. I don't want to get caught up in all of that. But it's saying this, that the disobedience of those laws bring a just punishment. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? In other words, this, that the salvation through Jesus Christ is greater than the law. And if the law is ignored and brought punishment, how much more will the punishment be if we ignore a salvation that is even greater? That is what he's writing. The alarming part to us is that we are saved by grace through faith in him. And when we add this element of grace in this new covenant, we just kind of have this attitude sometimes that all is forgiven. And all is kind of shoved under the blood. And God understands. And after all, I'm under grace. We are under God's grace, yes, through faith in Jesus Christ, that we pay more careful attention, ongoingly, continually, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. And that is what I'm called to. That is what we are called to. And if we look for God's visitation, and we look for revival, and we look for spiritual awakening and spiritual renewal, it is not just coming into his presence and just saying, oh, it's grace and it's wonderful and I feel good. And boy, I loved worship this morning. It has got to be backed up, built upon, between Sundays. In seeking him and paying close attention to his word. Because if I do not do that, I will drift. I don't care how wonderful it is on Sunday. I'll drift. And as I continue, as we continue, between Sundays to seek him and pay more careful attention, I want you to know it helps contribute to the wave and the tide of his spirit coming on Sundays. It's not like, oh, this new wave's got to come on Sunday. It starts building way out on Monday. It can start building. And on Tuesday, it builds a little more, and we contribute a little more. And Wednesday comes, and we're taught something, or we're at the church, or we're involved in some ministry group, or some other Bible study during the week, even if it's not in this church building. And we keep contributing. And then when we all get together of what we contributed, and we've been seeking God all week, and then we come on Sunday, man, there can be such a rise in his presence. The wings of His Spirit like drop gifts of renewal and awakening, revival and forgiveness and deliverance and healing and all the things that we count on Him for. The supernatural acts of God. Those who don't know Him, coming to know Him. The salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. It's first confirmed because the disciples and the apostles were with Him. And it says this in verse 4, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. But understand that this message of the gospel is not just some moral message. That when we pursue Him and we apply His message of salvation and the truth of His gospel, that we pay more careful attention to what we have heard and we apply it into our life, and we're not drifting, but we're following, and we're with a determination and with a conviction. That as we continue to do that, that it's not just I live just a moral life. It is that God confirms that in our life and backs it up among us with signs and with wonders and with gifts of the Spirit. The Pentecostal message. The message of Pentecost. The fullness of His Spirit. That we can continually be filled. That we can have times of refreshing where He will breathe on us. When we're weary, when we're tired, that we don't throw in the towel. If we will pay more close attention. I want to bring this to another level of our attention. It's about making good on what we've heard. Paying more close attention to this dispensation of God's word and grace. And each time they would hear something, making good on it. And each time they hear something from the Lord and the nearness of His word, that they pay closer attention. That applies to me as a man, just a person. Will I pay more close attention? Will I receive His word? Or am I just going to dismiss it? Or am I just going to say, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I heard it before. Oh, yeah, yeah. When you go through your personal reading time, not just messages at churches or in classrooms. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, okay. Wait. Or am I going to pay more careful attention in here? In here. So that I do not drift. Let's bring this close. If it's about making good and paying more close attention each time there's a revelation of God's word to us. What about the same principle in effect each time God reveals His presence to us? Will we receive it? Will we accept it? Will we continue to make good on it? Or are we just going to say, yeah, yeah? Because I will tell you this, that each time we continue to reject or not pay careful attention to, and we dismiss His presence, we dismiss what God wants to do in our life, I want you to know something. He doesn't just quit and give up and walk away the first time. But each time we reject, or we make light of, or yeah, 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 I want you to know something happens. We've made a conscious choice not to really receive and really apply and really pay close attention to it. And what happens is we don't just start to drift, but we start to grow a calloused, hard heart. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Now when it says Gentiles here, it's talking about those who've not believed on the Lord, that they've gone their own way, they've served themselves or served other gods. They've not responded to the gospel. Their history and culture were not God's people at that time. Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, such as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. I want you to know that as we reject God and those who reject God and those who can call themselves Christian, and God brings a revelation of his word and we don't pay careful attention to it, we say, yeah, yeah, or his presence come and we don't show that we receive it and that we accept it and we reject it, or we say, yeah, that's not for me, and you know, I just kind of like to read this Bible and I just kind of like to come to church and that's good enough, and we don't capitalize and receive and join in with what God is doing, something happens in us. We think we're okay, and we think we slowly, the reality is we start to drift, but it's more than that. We start to build a wall. We start to harden our heart. We reject God and what he is doing. And yet, as we're Christians, we want to hang on to our salvation. We just don't want to go where God is taking us. I've watched it happen with people. I've watched it happen with people who you would say they're a good Christian. They're a good church person. I've watched this happen over the years of ministry. As God came close and revealed himself and poured out his spirit upon people and upon the church, and I watched people respond to it, and I watched people back it up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after church. And they paid careful attention, and they took his presence, and they took this great salvation, and they didn't want to drift, and they made a plan not to drift. And every time God's word came forth, and they took it with a sincerity, and they paid that attention to it. Every time God came close with his presence, they ate it up. They received it. And then I watched those who were Christians that I've heard this before. Yeah, yeah. And they treated church like it was their country club. It was their social group. And that was it. That was the extent of it. There was no engaging in God's presence. There was no engaging in the revelation of his word and the revelation of his spirit to their life. I mean, signs and wonders started to show up of God's presence. Things that confirmed his word. Things that happened that were supernatural in other people's lives. They were there. They watched it. But as they continued to reject it, not participate, not pay careful attention, they began to get a hard heart. They got cynical. They started to get a little critical. It's like now they all of a sudden, because of that, they always had this personal battle. And it's what happened in their life. It talked about the Gentiles, those who didn't know God. In the hardening of their heart was because of the way they thought. How will we think about God's presence? How will we think about his word? How will we think about him coming close to us? Will we pay more careful attention? Or are we going to dismiss it? Or when God shows up, you say, oh, well, that was no big deal. How many of you remember Pharaoh? Now, how many of you have never watched the Ten Commandments on show? I won't go there. How many of you remember Pharaoh? Moses walks in and he says, on God's behalf, let my people go. Ha! I'm paraphrasing now. Pharaoh's, ha! Yeah, right. And God does a sign through Moses. Moses comes back. Pharaoh, let my people go. Yeah. And then another plague comes. And as it's going on, it's interesting what happens in Pharaoh. His heart gets hardened through each decision, each rejection. Pharaoh gets misdirected even more from what he was supposed to be as a Pharaoh, and now he's so consumed with the spiritual battle Because he keeps rejecting, and he doesn't want to be wrong, and he's mad and angry at Moses. That it takes him out of commission as a Pharaoh and a leader of people. It'll happen in our lives. We reject God, we reject his presence, we reject what he wants to do. At each rejection, we start thinking about it, and we choose our own thinking. We choose a way to justify ourselves out of it so that we can still be saved as a Christian. And we ignore a great salvation. We ignore a greatness of his presence. We ignore a great revelation of his word. We ignore a great revelation of a sign and a wonder or a gift of the Holy Spirit. What? Because we're uncomfortable with it? What? We don't like it? What? We were taught something else somewhere in our life and now we're never going to change our mind? As we darken ourselves with our own thinking, our hearts grow hard. I watched it happen. I watched it happen in a couple of churches where I was at prior to here. A great, wonderful move of God's Spirit came. And people paid careful attention to his word and through the week and to God and his presence and capitalized on it. And then there were those who didn't. They became sour and more sour and more sour. They started to struggle in their spiritual walk. Some of them started to lose those that were formerly good friends because some of their friends said, I'm in. I'm following God. I'm paying care. And they chose not to. I watched it divide friendships. I watched it divide people in families. You say, well, that can't be God. Oh, Jesus talked about it. If you say, no, he didn't, then you don't know the gospel. I watched it. You think when a move of God comes, everybody's just going to agree and we're all going to go forward? Jesus was here on earth. And the crowds were divided. We got to choose for ourselves. Choose you this day whom you shall serve for me and my house. Right? Joshua? Those can't be just words to us. You and I have to pay more careful attention when God starts to reveal his presence in this room. When God starts to reveal his presence in our life. We got to pay more careful attention when we hear something from his word or we read it. When God starts to confirm his word according to his will by the distribution of spiritual gifts and healings and deliverance, salvations, baptisms of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues according to the book of Acts. That wasn't just for the day of Pentecost. Are we going to pay careful attention or are we going to dismiss stuff? You say, oh, Pastor, yeah, we start doing that. No, I'm not letting my guard down. We got to keep our guard up. That's right. You're supposed to keep your guard up against drifting, wandering, squandering. Put your guard up of the things that are going to rob your soul. I have to do it in my own life. We all need help standing guard. We all need help. I need the Lord's help to guard. I got to guard my heart, my mouth, my mind. I got to guard it. My attitude. I need his help. I need his help. But as I pay more careful attention to the revelation of God and his word and his presence and what he does among us, I won't drift. I will not drift. You will not drift. So we're going to enter into a time of praise and adoration and worship unto the Lord in this place. And not that the Lord's not here, but as we do that, we know that he comes. We let him know that we want him here. And as he unfolds his presence, as we draw near to him and he draws nearer to us, what are you going to do with that nearness today? You're going to brush it off? You're going to dismiss it? You're going to say, I can worship back here in the pew. It's just as good as going up to the front. How would you know that? Those who use that line rarely go to the front. You can say what you want. I know you can worship the Lord wherever you want. You can worship him in the privacy of your home. I know that there's people say, hey, I'm living for the Lord. They're saved, and I'm sure that they are, and they do church online. It's not the same as being in a body. You can hear about a great revelation of God through his presence at some meeting. And you can hear about it. It can inspire you. But you know what? It's not the same as being there. You don't have to believe me. I'm just going to tell you this. If it blows you out of the water, that's fine. It's up to you. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you that there are times and places that I have been, in a variety of places, in a variety of meetings that I've spoken or been a part of in different places all over the world. Not all over the world. I haven't been all over the world. I've been in many parts of the world. And I know the difference. You walk to certain parts of the room and it's like, oh my. Something happens. Something's going on. There's times where I've known the difference from when I'm on the platform and I come down off it. There are times that I've known that I've walked up an aisle like this and everything's fine and I'm ministering and I'm doing, and all of a sudden I get near a person and it's like the Lord's picking them out and saying, hey, right here, right now. Whoa. Something's going on. It's about obeying. It's about keeping in step. It's about being aware of his presence. It's about looking for him. It's about stepping beyond the box that we've placed ourselves in. And we think we're in a pretty good box, and it's a pretty big box. And I know a lot of God's word. And, you know, I've been to revival meetings, and, oh, yeah, it's all old stuff, and I've been around. Where are you today? What will you do with his presence today? What will you do with the revelation of his word today? What will I do with it? Will I take it in? Will I walk out of here with it? Will I pay attention to it tomorrow? Or am I going to drift? Am I going to pay more careful attention to what God is revealing and doing now? If those who rejected the law had just punishment, how much more, when the salvation is greater, will the punishment also be greater, those who reject it? Understand that when we reject his presence and an outpouring of his spirit and what he wants to do in a moment or in a time or a season, that the hardening of our heart will continue to increase, even as a Christian, if we reject him. We'll get harsh, we'll get cynical, we'll get a little edgy, we'll try to cover it up and still be, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Nice Christian. But there's a battle going on. And we're not paying close attention, and we are not pursuing and making good on his presence or the revelation of his word or the signs and wonders that follow. Now say this with me. I need to pay more careful attention. Let's stand up, please, all over this room. Worship team, why don't you come? We're going to worship the Lord in this place. We are going to worship the Lord in this room today. We are going to worship him. You are going to see some people who raise their hands. You don't have to be upset about it. You're going to see some people who maybe they've got a tear. You're going to see some people probably get out of the pew and stand at the front or kneel at the front. You might see some slip out and stand against the back wall and worship. They don't want to be, you know, they're afraid to be a distraction to somebody. That's all right. You're going to see some, they might kneel down. You're going to see some finally sit down and just kind of do this. Or some just kind of stand there. You're going to see some who are very reserved. But you know that something's going on if you were to watch them. The question is, what will you and I do? Will we pay more close attention? And will we desire his presence and the move of his spirit in our life, in this place, right now? And will we build off of it when we leave here? If we say no, we pronounce our own punishment. I'm going to grow a little hard. I'm just going to drift a little bit. No, I'll be okay. I just don't want that. We start a dangerous road. We start traveling a dangerous road. And what will happen is you will feel like you're a part of the church, but you're never really in. You're always just running next to it. Still have association. Still attend. Still talk to the people. But you're just kind of running next to it. I've watched it happen. I've seen it happen. And here's the thing. If I'm not careful, it could happen to me. Listen, it has happened to preachers and great revivalists and great evangelists throughout the generations. That there are those who went and preached and were used, and the presence of God came and they paid close attention, and there was a great move of God in their life, in their church, or in their ministry. And then years went by, and they were still there. And then somewhere else, with someone else, God was also moving. And they criticized it. Or it looked different. Or it wasn't like theirs. And God was doing something new and something fresh. Nothing contrary to His Word. And because they didn't stay fresh and didn't continue to pay attention, they grew critical, cynical, hardened their heart towards a move of God. Because it wasn't about the preacher or the revivalist or the evangelist or just about the location or the city or the church. It was about a move of God where people started paying close attention to it. And for someone else, somewhere along the line, they ceased. I understand the danger that if I personally don't continue to pay more attention, that my heart could grow hard. That I could be the one now throwing stones at the move of God, when before all I used to do was pray and beg for it. If I'm not careful, it could turn around because I drifted and I didn't know it. So I've got to be careful with the presence of God, the move of God, the revelation of His Word. What will I do with it today?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.